Welcome to the Tech Guy Show here on Wednesday night at 88.1 FM, Grand Junction, Colorado, KAFM, your public radio station. My name is Rick Castellini, and we are the show where we answer any question about anything technology related. It can be about mobile technology, smartphones, tablets. Maybe you're looking at buying a new tablet, or you're even wondering, do you need a tablet? Or maybe you have a question about Windows or Apple operating system or even Linux. Anything that you want to talk about, searching the internet, spyware, your computer's too slow, you want it to run faster. Whatever you want to talk about, as long as it's in the technology purview, give us a call. 241-8801, extension 1. 241-8801, extension 1. And I'm excited to tell you that KFM, thanks in part, well, thanks all, really, and financially anyway, to the Lions Club here in Grand Junction, we have a new phone system. And so now we can take multiple calls at the same time. So if you call in, I can put you on hold. You will hear me doing the radio show in your earpiece as you're holding. And then when I hit you to come on air, you'll hear me talking to you in your ear. And people can line up three deep now. Hopefully we can get that phone just smoking tonight. So call us at 241-8801, extension 1. Once you hear the show coming through your handset, you will know you're on hold, and just stay there patiently, and we'll get to you in the order that the calls come in. I have a 1-2-3 right in front of me, and I'll just pick you up right in order. So as we talk to caller 1, stay on hold. You'll be able to listen to it through the phone, and we'll pick you up, caller 2, caller 3. So let's light those phones up tonight with anything tech, even if you want to make a technology comment and have a debate. Joe and I were just talking about the dying BlackBerry company, and a very, very strong company at one time. In fact, a very strong stock at one time that was doing great. And a lot of people made some good money on that back in the early 2000s and late 90s. But it's one of those technologies that just got overtaken, like my beloved Palm. But if you want to get into those kind of debates, let's talk about it. 241-8801, extension 1. Or if you're listening online at KFMRadio.org, you can call us at area code 970-241-8801, 970-241-8801. So give us a call, give us your questions, give us your comments, or ask us your questions and give us your comments, and we will be happy to bring you on there and we'll talk about it. So my first news story of the night came up, and Joe's sitting in here with me. Joe, I think, follows a lot of this stuff. And a couple years ago, there was a contest that Google put on to who wanted to be a test market for their super high-speed internet. And we're not talking just 3 times faster or 5 times faster, or even 10 times faster than your normal high-speed internet. They were coming out with a service that was 100 times faster than the fastest internet services out there. And compared to us here in Western Colorado, probably even 200 times faster. And the city that won out was Kansas City, Kansas, in, I think it was like 3 years ago, 2008, 2009, somewhere in there, maybe 2010. And maybe 2010. That sounds more right. And it's been a success. They've had businesses that actually moved there because they wanted to have that high-speed internet, and residents are happy with the service. They expanded it into southern Utah, or I should say southern Salt Lake City area, Provo and American Fork, or Spanish Fork, one of those areas over there, are also have it. And then Austin, Texas, parts of Austin got it recently. And just today, they announced 9 more cities. So I'm not going to keep you on the edge. Grand Junction is not one of those cities. But we have Raleigh, Durham, and Charlotte, so 2 North Carolina cities, Atlanta, Nashville, San Antonio, Phoenix, Salt Lake City, San Jose, which is near their home, and then Portland. Those are the new cities that our Google is looking to expand into. And that's going to cover a good part. Well, we'll cover coast to coast the United States. And that tells me that maybe that's going to be a good skeleton to be able to go out from those cities into more cities in those surrounding areas, because I think that's what they want to do. The more people that are on the internet and using the internet at a higher speed, Google makes more money because the people will search the web more. There'll be more ads. Everything just improves when the internet is itself moving along at a good speed. So that'll be kind of nice. And to me, this is a good story. It comes on the heels of another story that came out just last week and early this week, was with the Comcast and can't think of the other company, Time Warner merger, or Comcast trying to basically do a hostile takeover of Time Warner. And that's ruffling the feathers of a lot of folks who don't want that competition reduced that much, because if those two companies merged, that would be the largest cable company in the United States. They would own almost, I believe I saw a figure between 30 and 35%, depending on what news story you read, of all of the cable in the United States. And that starts to get into danger territory for a multitude of reasons. Number one, Time Warner, which bought NBC a few years back and merged with them, because they own that property, NBC, they can be more, they can have more muscle when they go in and have negotiations with other channels, with other entities about, hey, if you take our service, we'll give you NBC and CNBC and whatever else they might have for a reduced cost or that kind of thing. So then we get into competition laws and things like that. And we know that cable, amongst telecommunications, cable bills, especially the TV cable bill, is amongst the highest in the world currently. And that just doesn't bode well with me as an American and as a pro-competition guy, that if we have great technologies and we have a lot of good companies, hopefully we should be reducing costs to the consumer and give them more choice. But as we know, from almost any city in the United States, there's not much competition. You usually have one cable company, one telephone company. You might have a handful of independent wireless internet and some other rinky-dink things that might come up, but they just don't have the power or the numbers to compete with the national entities. So basically, it comes down to no choice. You can get slow phone service, or you can get fast, expensive cable service, and those aren't good choices. And I think that hopefully by Google inserting themselves into this and being kind of an independent player themselves, and they've shown that the costs that they put out to the consumer are very reasonable. And they also have in these big cities, they have a program for folks who can't afford to pay for an internet service. They will give them a basic service that's faster than the slowest DSL for free. And for consumers, they have different levels like any company does. And they're all very reasonable for the speed and the information, or the speed and the services that you get. So that's a big story for me today, is the Google exploring high speed in 9 more cities. 241-8801 extension 1 is our phone number, 241-8801 extension 1. We have our first caller on the new phone system. Let's try to get a second and third caller on there. 241-8801 extension 1. We want to put this new phone system through the paces. And I'm going to take caller number 1 here. Hello, welcome to the Tech Guy Show. How can we help you?
Oh, hey. I was just wondering if you could tell me a little bit more about the Google Chromebook. Is that like a laptop, like a regular laptop?
That's a great question. You're trying to butter me up, I think, because you know I like to talk about this. Is that true? No.
Just curious.
The Google Chromebook, it's a great question. I love talking about it. It is a laptop. It's been around about 3 years. That Google came out with their own operating system. Now we're going to back up a little bit. Every computer needs a system in order to work. A computer is just nuts and bolts and wires if there's not a system to run the information, the hardware that's inside there. So we have Apple. Apple is a major player, obviously, in laptops. And then, of course, you've got all the multitude of Windows laptops, Acer, Hewlett-Packard, who else makes those things? Dell, Sony's getting out of it now, but all those things. So those were the two big players, Windows and Apple. Well, with all the crazy viruses and spyware and things that go around, and the fact that if you think about how you might use the computer, or especially maybe friends and family, most of us are working in a browser today. We have our Internet Explorer, or your Firefox, or if you're on Apple, Safari, open all the time, and you're not doing many other things. So Google came out with their own operating system called Chrome OS, Chrome operating system. And then they stuck it in a little laptop, a nice little inexpensive laptop, around $200. You have to use it for all intents and purposes. You have to be online to use most of its functions. There are some ways to do some things offline. But once you're connected to a Wi-Fi connection, you have access to the entire internet and all it has to offer. And that's what a Chromebook is. As of today, 3 years later, they've given people opportunities to make $1 million if they can hack it or infect it. And so far, it has not happened. And I can tell you from experience that people who use the Chromebook love it because of its simplicity, but yet the fact that they can do 99% of everything they want to do.
Wow, that sounds pretty amazing. Thank you.
Now, do you have any specific questions? Are you looking to get it for yourself or for someone else? Or
no, I just heard about it, and I wanted to know if it was different from like an iPad or laptop, but I think you answered the main question there.
So. Yeah, and so it comes with a keyboard. It's in a laptop format, so it looks like a laptop. It is a laptop. And it is, I think, something to think about instead of an iPad. Some people may decide, I really like the built-in keyboard. I really like the fact that it's a clamshell laptop type format. And to me, that, you know, for some people may say that works better for me. I think it is something to compare to an iPad in a lot of ways. They definitely are two different devices, and it just depends on what you need to do and want to do with the device.
So can you do like regular office tasks on it, like like spreadsheets and Word docs and stuff
you,
like that?
You sure can. You have to use online versions of those things. So since it's a Google product, you have to have a Google account or a Gmail account in order to use
it. Who doesn't have one of those these days?
Yeah, exactly. And so with that, you get access to their what's called Google Drive, which has a spreadsheet, a very capable spreadsheet, word processor, and a presentation manager, and it works quite well.
Nice. Yeah, I've used all those things, and I like them. So that's great.
Yeah. So it's a wonderful thing, and it makes sense for a large number of people.
Excellent. Well, thanks for answering my question.
Hey, well, we appreciate the call. Thanks much.
All right. Have a good one.
You too. 241-8801 extension 1 is our phone number. 241-8801 extension 1. Mr. Adam has waltzed in. Hello. Hello, Mr. Adam. I'm going to pod Mr. Adam up here.
Whoa.
We've got one person on hold. So we have two lines open at 241-8801 extension 1. Give us a call, and we'll be glad to get you on this new high-tech phone system where we can put people on hold.
Very cool.
So let's take caller number 2. Hello. Welcome to the Tech Guys Show with Adam and Rick. How can we help you?
Hi. I'm just calling to get your opinion on Google Fiber. What do you guys think about them expanding and the effect they have on big broadband like Comcast, TWC, so on and so forth?
Well, I'm hoping that by them being obviously a big, big player financially, that it's going to help keep costs under control. And I'm also hoping that it's going to help keep those big players, the Comcasts and the Charters and all these other AT&T or whoever, Verizon
Fios.
FIOS, yep. Yeah, Fiber iOS or whatever they call themselves.
Fios.
I'm hoping it'll keep them in check. And I think with them announcing 9 other cities this week, today, I think it will do that. That's my thought. I'm hoping, I'm always a hopeful guy, and I'm hoping that will do that. What are your thoughts? Do you think it's a good thing, bad thing?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good thing. I'm looking forward to the competition. You know, I think it's the big players have been around long enough, and they've pretty much had a stranglehold on the market, and it's time for them to, you know, shake it out a little bit and feel what it's like to be our market player.
Do you know anyone in the current cities that are using the high-speed Google Fiber?
Unfortunately, I don't. I know a couple people who have Verizon Fios, but not the Google Fiber.
Yeah, and how high a speed are your Verizon Fios friends?
My brother actually, I think he's 75 or 100, somewhere around there.
So that's great.
Exactly.
So that's 4 to 5 times faster than what we have here in the Valley. So that's cool. Very good. Where is he? In the East Coast? On the West Coast?
He's on the East Coast.
Oh, he's on the East Coast.
Tampa, Florida.
Okay. Very cool. Yeah, so I'm hoping. Adam, what are your thoughts? Do you think it's going to be a good thing that Google is going to be spreading there?
The more commercial players we have in the market, the better it gets. Mm-hmm. I think that's I mean, if everybody's competing, everybody's trying something new. I mean, I think it what
hopefully
may
keeping
happen,
costs in check.
Well, I think the thing is now with we see this big merger that's taking place this week.
If it happens,
we see something like that. I think that's what it's going to take to be able to compete with Google or some of these others if they get too big. Well, if they get big, I won't put it that way. But then again, it brings in places for smaller carriers and things like that. I think if things got too expensive, then I think we'd start seeing more regulation and things like that, and we don't want that either. So,
well, good question.
That's actually
go ahead.
Be my next question. I don't mean to interrupt.
Sure. No, go ahead.
No, I was going to ask about, you know, about that merger between Comcast and Time Warner. You know, I hope the FCC doesn't approve it. And I hope it doesn't, you know, go through. And but it seems like potentially we could be looking forward to, you know, sort of having those big bell corporations back when, you know, what we used to have. I can't even remember how far back it was, but
well,
what are your thoughts on that?
Well, again, I think the same thing. I think that if we get one company that holds 30%+ of the market, that is going to put a damper. Especially, I think the big thing with this particular merger is the fact that Time Warner owns NBC. If Time Warner did not own NBC and have control of content, then I think it might be a little different type of situation. But the fact that they're merging not only, or potentially merging, not only with another cable company, but a cable company that offers content, that's where I think the conflict of interest is. And I think that we need to make sure that that's kept in check, because then that gives that company a lot more bargaining power to muscle out some of the other competition and get more than 30% of the market.
You know, I probably look at things differently than a lot of people expect. When it comes to communication and media, I'm a big free market guy. I like the idea of how I give, but I do think that in this case, that unlike cable TV and things like that, the internet is a backbone of communication today. And it's the only infrastructure piece that the government doesn't own their own thread of.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, what I mean by that is that you don't have an alternative to the free market by going to a public government provided source, like you would even with PBS, or if you have with the old phone lines, things like that. There was always a backbone that you could default to if the commercial options didn't work. And so that backbone was always kind of, you know, maintained. It wasn't the best option, but it was always there. In this case, we don't have a non-commercial, you know, option. We have to choose to buy something if we want to communicate, and communication now is, you know, part of the infrastructure of the company or of the country. So I think it's gets kind of weird when you have one company controlling everything and no other alternative for something that you need on a day-to-day basis. It's like if they shut down all the freeways and turned everything into toll roads, it would be really hard for anybody who couldn't afford to travel on those roads to get anywhere, and therefore it hurt them. And I think we kind of have that same scenario going on with communication today.
Yep. And I think that's the importance of keeping them separate. Keep content separate from communication. Yeah. All right. Well, hey, we appreciate the call.
Sure, no problem. Thanks. Have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye. Wow, Joe, the system's working great.
Yeah.
241-88.
We've had this many calls before. At least piled up like this.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Nice. Well, I'm trying to challenge our listeners tonight. 241-8801, extension 1. We want all three of these lights lit
there you
up.
Go. Yeah.
Because now it works awesome. We can push one button, put you on hold. You know you're going to get up once the previous caller goes down.
There's been days where we have backed up five lines.
Yeah.
So I think we can do three.
We should be able to do three. Come on. 241-8801, extension 1. Call us with any of your comments or questions about technology. Hello, welcome to the Tech Guy Show with Rick and Adam. How can we help you? Hello. Oh, I hit the wrong button. That was me.
Oh man.
Strike one.
The buttons.
So top button puts them on hold.
Top button is hold.
Bottom button, we put them on the air.
All right.
I hit the top button. I went to the
there
light.
You go.
I was
nobody's
a Pavlov.
Nobody's going to call you about how to use their phone now.
I was Pavlov about that.
There you go.
It's almost an analog system, and that just really confuses me.
Yeah, I know.
241-8801, extension 1. If I just dropped you, call us back. We'll get you back on. 241-8801, extension 1. So that's kind of cool. The one thing I didn't realize I'd forgotten is that Austin, where Matt went, has the fiber.
Yes.
So we'll have to ask him if he has Google
now
Fiber.
How much is it, $100 a month, or is it a lot more than that?
No, it depends on what you want.
I know it's scaled and stuff. But
I think you can get their top speed for like $75.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Now, if you tie in, I think in Kansas City, they started tying in telephone
like
and maybe even,
it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then that's when it went up into the 100.
Okay, well, that's not bad. I mean, that's what regular cable is now almost. So.
Speaking of cable, locally, and you probably know this,
yes.
But as of the first week of February, Charter, our newest of the old companies. The new name for the old company.
Yep.
Doubled speeds.
Yeah, I noticed they'd gone way up.
They had. If you do your test, if you're running Charter internet in your home here locally in the Grand Valley, you can do go to speedtest.net right. or pcpitstop.com.
Here's what they've done in the past. I'm sorry, go ahead and finish your thought.
Well, it's okay. The base speed now is 30 megabit.
Oh, that's nice.
So that's very nice. Just 2 years ago, our base speed was 8 megabit. And right. when Optimum came in,
it was 8. It was 8
under Bresnan.
And then it went to
15. Did Optimum make 15?
It went up to 15 under Optimum.
And now Charter's made it 30.
30. Now, here's the question.
And the upload's 4.
Well, that's pretty cool.
It's very nice.
Well, here's the question. Do you know this? Is that I've heard, or I know that when Bresnan switched to Charter, or Bresnan switched to Optimum, it's crazy.
It is very crazy.
When Bresnan...
And they're still using
AT&T's
email.
Which used to be AT&T at home. anyway, when Bresnan switched to Optimum, you had to actually call and switch to Optimum
right.
service in order to get those speeds.
Right.
Is that how it is with Charter?
Well, that's a good point.
Automatically
because I know there's probably still a lot of folks out there. In fact, I've done tests.
Our bill still says Optimum. Our service is still Optimum, theoretically.
And I think that there's folks that have not made the switch that may still be getting 8 megabit because they never called.
Yeah, we have a Bresnan business line that's 8.
Yeah.
But the reason we haven't switched is because of some...
costs or
some changes. We have a phone lines tied into it and stuff like that, and it would be too messy. So it still says Bresnan on our stuff there. So, and it's still 8.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird.
So it is weird. But yeah, they did double that, so that's a nice thing. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what their premium speed, because they had your base speed, which was 15, right. You could pay to get 30.
Well, it was 10 and you could pay to get 15, couldn't you?
A long time ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it was 15, you could pay to get 30.
So maybe there's a 50 or something.
That's what I'm wondering.
That'd be nice.
I don't know.
Yeah. The thing is, here's the thing about fast internet. You can pay for the fastest internet you want. But a lot of it still depends on how fast people are sending it to you.
That's right.
So, you know, if you're buying it so that you can download legal MP3s faster, mm-hmm. then it all depends on whether they're email or whether they're uploading them at that speed to you. Because
exactly.
if they're not sending them to you at that speed, it's not going to change anything.
And something that we haven't talked about in years, and we talked about it 10, 15 years ago here on the show when high speed just started first coming out.
Right.
Is that cable companies, we share a fire hose.
Right.
So even if the fire hose is coming in at 30, if we have 20 people in the neighborhood that are all streaming.
Netflix at the same time.
If we're all watching Netflix and House of Cards tonight, then your speed goes down.
Right.
Your effective speed goes down. Now that's improved in the last 10 years, but that's still a big difference between fiber and DSL and cable,
right?
The three major players in high speed.
It's still, from what I've seen, even your slowest on cable is still about the same as what you get at the fastest on DSL.
Right,
so,
right. So you're still, I think, better on the cable end price-wise versus speed.
Yeah,
I agree. But it's something we haven't talked about in a long time because the speeds are now high enough, like you say, we don't notice that the speed gets reduced like it used to.
Right.
So... All right, 241-8801, extension 1. We have 3 wide open lines. If you have anything you want to ask about technology-wise, our phone number is 241-8801, extension 1. If you're calling or listening from out of the area, call us at 970-241-8801, extension 1. And again, we're excited tonight because this is the first time we've had the opportunity for you to be able to call in, and we can stack up three people.
We can put you on hold. Yeah. It used to be we have to hang ups on somebody to answer
exactly.
the call. Yeah, and we used to do that.
We used to kind of panic doing that, but now we can do it very easily. So call in 241-8801, extension 1. We want to put this new phone system through the paces. So if you have any kind of technology question, give us a call. 241-8801, extension 1. We had a caller in the first half hour right before you came in.
Yeah.
I think they were baiting me a little bit.
Okay, good.
She asked about Chromebook. I think she just knows I love Chromebooks.
Oh, yeah. Can you tell me about... Yeah, so you talked about that
so
for
I,
a while.
So I got to talk about Chromebook.
Cool. Excellent.
And I love talking about Chromebook.
Yeah.
She probably was looking for me to go over the edge and talk about my dad's Chromebook, but I'm not going to do that tonight.
No.
Unless somebody wants to hear it.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. Oh, somebody
calling.
Wants to hear it right there.
Okay, I'm not going to put this person on hold because they're the first caller in.
Okay, just going
to
answer.
We're just going to answer. Welcome to the Tech Guy Show.
Talk yourself through it.
How can we help you?
Well,
do you want to hear about the Chromebook?
A little over my head.
Oh, okay.
What can we do for you?
I've been in here 5.5, 6 years, and you guys have just mentioned some good things about Charter, but there's some negative things.
Okay.
The negative thing is, not to bitch and complain, but my cable bill, it's actually a triple package, triple play or something they call it. It's cable, internet, and unlimited long distance and local phone.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to just cut you off right there because we don't want to get into be a stay right there. Stay on the line.
Yeah,
stay
I'm
not going to cut you off the line, but I'm going to cut you off your comment because we don't want to get into consumer complaints here. But I will tell you that this is one thing we like to talk about is saving money.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do, some alternatives to maybe saving money.
Exactly. And the biggest portion of that bill that you're paying for every month to your telecommunications company is the TV. And
cable.
Yeah, the cable TV. And I can tell you from experience, for the last 2 to 3 years, I've not paid any money for TV. And the way I do it is, I shouldn't say any money, let me explain, is I don't pay a cable bill or a satellite bill. I just get my network TV over the air, which is free, and it's in HD. And locally, we get about 10 to 12 channels over
with
the rabbit ears.
All the local channels.
With rabbit ears run into the attic or something?
No, I actually run just a... It's kind of funny because we're going back to
the
60s here.
We call them rabbit ears, but it's not rabbit ears. I mean,
mine are.
Our ears actually rabbit ears.
Mine's a Radio Shack rabbit ears.
That's funny. Okay.
But they have a digital... They're called digital... antennas, and they come in different shapes. Amazon actually has a very cool one that's just a little square
little
thing.
Box. That's the ones we use,
Anyway, but that gets over the air, HD, and then I do pay $11 a month. I forget what it is, for Netflix, so that I can watch TV shows after the fact, but that's all I pay. That's it.
That's what both of my brothers have done, and I don't mean to get down on Charter. You're right.
No.
Just the bill has gone up like 7% a year for 5 or 6 years. I'm like, okay, this I'm done.
No, it's true, but really the TV option, if you're looking at paying for TV, cable is probably the most expensive option there is because even Dish Network or some of the, even those are going to be less expensive in most cases than cable, and especially when you consider that you also have an antenna option that brings in all of your local content. Unless you need for some reason to have the cable or it's the only way to get some
certain
TV
channels,
or something, then I can understand. Or if you're really big into sports for certain channels, that would make sense.
I am. That's it. I love the sports package for $7-$8 a month.
Exactly. And see, and that's how they get us. You have to kind of know how you watch your TV, and if you look at it, what they do is, like, for example, to get ESPN2. A company may say, then you need to go to step number three.
Right.
So then all of a sudden your bill goes from $50 a month for TV to $80 a month
to
get the one channel. So then you have to say, is it worth $30 a month for me to get that channel?
Right.
And for some people, that's yes.
And when you look at options like MLB.com or some of these other, you know, online sports packages, you know, sometimes those are worth
the
difference.
Out.
They balance out if you're not really into watching the live game, or if that MLB.com or one of those places, NFL or whoever, gives you the content that you want.
This is coming from a big sports guy.
Well, I helped a lot of people with it. I mean, I don't follow sports a lot, but I do have a lot of people that I know that is how
they go those different avenues.
Because
really
they want the replays, they want the scores, they want to be able to pop in on a live game and just see what's going on real quick, and that's what those apps give you.
Right.
So I could reach that off the internet, just go to NFL.com or something. It wouldn't give me a current game, but it'd be kind of a teaser.
Well, in some cases they do, though.
No, in some cases you can. If you pay for a certain package, you can sometimes get every game.
Yeah.
It just depends on what you want to pay for.
And it's really amazing. I mean, baseball, MLB.com has it down.
Right.
I mean, I don't follow baseball a lot, but you really can. I mean, it shows you every pitch and where the pitch went and stuff that you can't even see on TV, that they can't even give you. And you're able to pull it in all the time, constantly, and it's really amazing.
That through the TV guys, and then just go to MLB.com or something and pay them directly.
Yeah,
kind of like you're dealing with. Oh, I see.
Right. And it even
NFL.com.
Yeah, it's a lot of these set top boxes that we were kind of referring to. But
well, off the
boxes,
air, we were just talking that Apple TV, which is a little box that Adam's referring to, may come out with an upgrade this month. You're saying.
And then there's another one. What's the other one?
Roku.
Roku. A lot of those come with the apps for MLB or NFL or whoever. And you can actually just watch them through those apps. You just sign on with the username and password that you subscribe to.
Okay.
And it'll feed out to your TV.
Okay. Yeah, you've answered a lot of questions. I think my brother said something about a wireless internet TV streaming box. Maybe.
Yeah, there's a lot of options.
Yeah, that's
out
what
there.
These are. The Roku.
Okay, Roku.
Google just came out last summer with what they call the Chromecast, and it almost looks like a fat USB drive, but it fits into your HDMI port, those little high definition ports on your smart TV, and that connects to your Wi-Fi, and then any video that comes through a certain channels, your YouTube, and I think they've just paired with Netflix, also with Chromecast.
Yeah, they did somebody, yeah.
And a couple of other things. You can stream, or any video that you're watching on your telephone or tablet or computer, you can stream, or what they call Chromecast, to your TV. So okay. You could start, for example, a TED. Are you familiar with TED education videos?
No.
Boy, look at that, TED.com.
Go to TED.com.
We just changed your life.
Okay. Yeah, you won't pay for TV if you watch TED.com. But anyway, but you could pull up a TED video, and then if you have a Chromecast, you can say, cast that over to my TV so you can watch it on the big screen.
Okay. You've given me some great information. I appreciate it. I think maybe I'll keep. I want to keep internet because I've got a roommate.
Oh yeah.
Oh, you need the internet. Or,
yeah, and the phone.
Sure.
So maybe just.
Here's the thing. Here's another way to save $35-$40 a month. If you have a cell phone, you have to ask yourself: do I need the landline? Probably not.
Well, I've got a track phone. It's like 9 cents a minute, so I'm kind of 5 years behind. But I don't. $150 a year, I get 1,500 minutes. So it's like, some people pay $50 a month for the phone. I don't have that expense, but it's a very simple phone.
Yeah.
Right. Well, but again, got to match it up. Match up your monthly costs on your track phone, because you'll be surprised. Just try to see, am I using $10 a month? Am I using $4 a month? See what you're using. Match it up with that you're paying $35 to $45 a month from your cable company phone system. And say, well, if I put those two together, I'm paying $60 a month. And if you're doing that, you can get a basic phone with unlimited calling for $30 a month or so from Clear Talk, or they even have some other systems from the big guys.
Really? So maybe just stick with the
internet. Do your research.
Internet.
Yeah, do your research.
And just maybe stick with the internet.
Or here's another thing. If you want to not pay anything for your phone, you can get the Magic Jack. Jack, if you look at magicjack.com,
Magic Jack.
It is a system where you can plug in a landline type phone into your high speed internet, unlimited phone calls, or unlimited long distance, unlimited calling. You get your voicemail, the whole nine yards, and it costs $20, I think.
Maybe it's 20 now.
Like for a year.
But just for that, it's really inexpensive.
Yeah, it's super cheap.
But it's. With a landline tied into the
to your high speed internet.
Okay, but
we can get we can get your bill down to $60 a month.
Yeah,
if we keep talking.
Yeah, I know. Hey, that's what I want to do. I appreciate it. When are you guys on again? Every once a month or
first and third Wednesdays from 5:30 to 6:30.
Okay, look, I've taken enough of your time. Thanks so much, guys.
Hey, appreciate the call. Thanks for calling.
Take care. Thank you.
Bye bye.
Appreciate it. Bye.
Love those kind of calls. 241-8801, extension 1. 241-8801, extension 1. Give us a call if you want tech financial advice. We like doing that. Or any kind of tech questions, we'll bring you on the air and we'll talk about it. Hello, welcome to the Tech Guy Show with Adam and Rick. How can we help you?
Yes. I have a problem with my computer.
Okay.
It's been going on ever since I downloaded a driver from the internet, and that popped up, and I thought it was some upgrade.
Mm. You got something.
And I had it before, and I know it's a virus.
Yep.
Spyware / virus, yeah.
Yeah, so the driver update, it's blue, it's got an arrow that points down, and you can't even uninstall it.
Right.
What version of Windows are you running?
Windows Vista.
Okay, the best thing to try is click Start. And then when you click Start, you're going to have a little search button right there on your Start menu. And you're going to type in the word Restore. And then be a few seconds, and then you should get an option for System Restore. And the system, have you used System Restore before?
No, I haven't.
Okay, System Restore is a kind of a, think of it kind of like a back to the future kind of a thing, is it keeps track of how your computer was functioning at certain time periods. And so what it allows you to do in cases like this, many times all you have to do is open up this system restore, follow through the little wizard. It'll just be a next, next, next kind of thing. And in one of the screens, there's only two or three screens, it's going to give you an option of different dates. And it'll say, do you want to reset your computer back to January the 8th? Or do you want to reset it back to December 31st? You know, different dates. And what you need to do is think in your mind, how long is that driver detective or whatever that guy is called? How long have I had it on my system? Has it been 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, whatever it is? Then choose a system restore point, one of those dates, that's at least a week before the problem happened. And what that should do is reset your computer so that that particular problem goes away and it won't delete any data. So if you've saved any new photos or you've downloaded email, none of that goes away. It just changes those settings.
Okay.
Okay, so it's system restore is what that's called.
So I push start and then I go research and then I go restore and then system restore?
No. Click start and just start typing the word restore.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because you're going to have a search box. And you'll notice that you probably just never used it. But when you click start, there's going to be a little search button at the bottom. And you just type in the word restore and it'll take a few seconds and it'll start telling you what matches that search. And one of the options will be system restore. It's pretty easy. Once you get that far, you'll find it's not bad. So that's the first thing I would try.
Okay. And what it will allow, it will erase that if I go back to where before that came up.
It kind of takes your computer back in time to, you'll just pick a date from before when you know that your computer was fine, and it'll roll your computer back in time to the way it was configured on that day.
Okay. Well, I'll give it a try and see how it goes. Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
All right. You too. Bye.
I think sometimes people just need to hear something in a different voice.
Yeah.
And then it clicks. I think so. Because same happens when you correct me or you
reiterate what I say.
It works. People like, oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. So, go ahead.
241-8801 extension 1. 241-8801 extension 1. We've got two lines open. If you have a question or anything related, technology, comments, questions, give us a call. And next up, hello. Welcome to the Tech Guy Show with Rick and Adam. How can we help you?
Hi, is this Rick and Adam?
This is Rick and Adam, yes.
Okay, this is Calvin. I'm from Seattle.
Hey, thanks for calling in.
No problem. I just read on the news that Facebook bought WhatsApp for $16 billion.
Yeah, I saw
it. I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Well, I don't even know what WhatsApp is. What is that?
It's a text messaging app.
Yeah, it's like a Snapchat, right?
Yeah, but even simpler. I think it's basically text messaging, but it goes through data plans instead of SMS, but yeah, 450 million users, and I don't know, 16 billion seems like a lot to me.
Well, the money that goes around with all these small things that get snatched up.
From what I read, looking into it, I don't know that I wouldn't ever argue that anything's worth $16 billion at this point. But at the same time, this is an app that allows people from different countries, totally different markets and different cultures, to be able to text message each other within, like, the same way we text each other here with phones. I mean, you can't text somebody
in Kenya
who doesn't have a cell phone.
Okay.
But this will allow people to put this app on computers, iPads, tablets, anything that they have.
But how would
they can text each other.
But how would that enhance their Facebook messaging already?
Well, what if they don't have Facebook, though? I mean, what if there's no, I mean, this goes outside of Facebook. This goes outside. It's just this little app that you install on devices that allows you to.
Well, then why would Facebook
text
install
each
other? Or would they buy?
Maybe they're buying out competition.
I think partly buying out competition, and partly they always, Facebook, unlike Google, Facebook is very good about incorporating whatever they buy into their product.
Instead of just killing it.
So the Messenger, the Facebook Messenger app actually allows you to text message people to their phones already.
Okay.
They just add this extra feature to it through WhatsApp, and now you've got the ability to not only text, but video conference or anybody in the world, whether or not they have a cell phone. And I think that's a big difference between, Facebook and all of that and like FaceTime or something like that. I mean, you don't need a certain technology to use this. So I can see them doing it because it reaches larger markets and it allows Facebook
to market themselves to.
And really, Facebook isn't about, we know this, but Facebook isn't about providing wonderful services for free. It's about collecting data and market information for every customer that they have. So, so really that's what this is about, is that Facebook has just bought a way to gather data from cultures that don't use cell phones and a lot of times don't have personal computers.
Good point. And so what is your, caller, what is your thoughts on the situation that they bought that?
Well, WhatsApp only has like 30 employees, so they're really rich.
Yeah, they're doing pretty good right now, aren't they? Yeah.
What I want to do is invent one of these little companies and invent a service and get bought out by one of these guys.
Yeah, sounds like I'm in the wrong industry.
Well, it'll be interesting because this is kind of a funny situation because of Groupon. Remember Groupon about 2 years ago or so, Google wanted to buy them for a crazy amount of money, but they turned it down. And look what happened to Groupon. They've almost tanked.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and Google ended up having to sell Motorola for kind of the same sort of thing.
Yeah. You
know, they buy these things and they turn around and have to sell them for less than they bought them for.
Yeah. Very good. Yeah. Good question. We appreciate it. So you're listening online on KFMradio.org?
Yeah, one of my coworkers was.
Awesome. Cool. Hey, appreciate it. Yep. Thanks
all
for
right,
listening.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
241-8801, extension 1. We have about 10 more minutes. We have two lines open, 970-241-8801, extension 1. Welcome to the Tech Guy Show with Rick and Adam. How can we help you?
Hi, I was just curious what your thoughts were on how reliable a RAID 1 mirrored array is for a backup solution.
Well, you're talking to the wrong guys. We make fun of RAID all the time.
And it's not because we don't see a use in it, really.
Right.
It's more just because to the people we're trying to reach, let's say our target audience,
they just turn the radio off.
They don't even know what an external hard drive is in a lot of cases. And it's not insulting them. It's just we're kind of after the people who are trying to find their way in the digital world.
They want to know what a Chromebook is and why it's good for them.
So then, in your guys' opinion, for just personal pictures and music and all the things that we like to collect, for the average user, what kind of backup solution should we be doing on a weekly or a monthly basis?
Now, that's a great question.
Beautiful question.
That's a beautiful phrase.
Way to
question.
Go.
And I'm going to answer first, and I'll let
Adam go. Go for it.
My thought for backup of anything important. So first off, that's one reason RAID to me doesn't make a lot of sense for the average user because it backs up everything. So my thought is for folks that on the average that want to back up documents, photos, things that they've created. That's what I tell people. The things you want to back up are, what if your computer died and you lost your computer? What are the things that you would cry about at night before you went to sleep? So it's photos, address books, things like that. So my recommendation is, number one, use an external hard drive with a good backup program or flash drives if you don't have a lot of data. And combine that with a cloud option. Either use a online backup system like CrashPlan, or if you're a Google user, you can use Gmail. Another announcement that came out today is Microsoft repurposed their SkyDrive and reannounced it as OneDrive. And they give you a certain amount of free space. You can buy extra space. So I think combining a local backup with, again, an external hard drive or a flash drive with an online option like CrashPlan or Mozy and or Google Drive or OneDrive from Apple or from Microsoft, something like that. That's my suggestion. Adam?
Yeah, I would say the same thing. The one difference that I do, and maybe this is, I can definitely see pros and cons to the way I do it, but I use a cloud service for my routine backup.
Which one do you use?
Which one do I use? I used Mozy and I use... Well, I kind of do it weird, but yeah, Mozy would probably be the one I'd say. But the other thing is I use my external hard drive as a manual backup only. So I don't have any routine local hard drive.
Okay, so you're not using anything. Okay.
No, I just kind of drag all my, occasionally about once a month, I drag all my pictures and save them, because the thing is, I have so much stuff back to back up that I don't like my computer being slow when I need it to be fast because it's in the middle of a routine backup. So I prefer to set my stuff to backup when I'm not around it, and I never know when I'm not going to be around it. Right. I might be at 2 a.m. and it might not. So I usually do the local backups manually.
Okay.
And your cloud backup solution, is that automated?
Yes.
Yeah.
And does that service cost anything?
Yes.
It depends on which one you're using. Again, depending on your amount of data, if you're using Google Drive or you're using SkyDrive or the, now it's called it OneDrive, Microsoft OneDrive, you can actually save your information directly in those drives. So there's really no cost or no program that has to run. You just automatically save it there.
Yeah.
If you're using one of the other ones like Mozy or CrashPlan, yes, there's a monthly cost. I think mine's $45 a year for unlimited space for my CrashPlan. And that's a pretty darn good rate.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Well, thank you so much.
Hey, we appreciate the call. Thanks very much.
Have a nice day.
You too.
You know, I don't do as much backup as I used to because I store so many things in the cloud now that I don't really think about. So that's what I was thinking. I don't even know that I run Mozy anymore on anything. I did.
Well, except for photos. What do you do with
photos? Well, my photos, though, I have all my photos stored on a NAS drive, which is a network drive, and I have my photos stored on an external hard drive. And
so they're both places.
In both places and in two different locations. So I have an outside office that's kind of like a detached garage.
Okay.
So that sort of thing. So I have, you know, that's where my NAS drive is. But then I have external hard drives that I rotate and I bring one inside the house and take the other one out. So I have a system down.
Right.
But it's not an automated system. Everything that's really important to me as far as documents go, I store in the cloud on Google Drive.
Very good. We have about 6 minutes left on the show. If you have any technology questions, give us a call, 241-8801, extension 1. 241-8801, extension 1. I had a question I wanted to ask Adam about iPhone photography.
Oh, wow.
Because Adam is a big photography guy.
Yes, I got to show you this. Yeah, go ahead.
I look to him as for my photography questions.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, are there any apps that you use on your iPhone for photography that you really like? Do you just use the standard apps?
I do use Instagram to share stuff sometimes on social media.
Okay.
But for video I do. I have probably two apps I use that I really like for video. But for still photography, there aren't really any that I use. Yeah, I can't say that there's any that I really use. Because if I need to edit a picture or do something fancy with it, I usually do it in Photoshop later anyway. So on the device itself, there aren't really any.
Because, I've downloaded Camera Plus.
Oh, I do have one. Okay, go ahead. Yes, Camera Plus.
And it works okay. There's some cool things about it. You can lock exposure on one area, and you can do different fancy things. Again, it's like any phone. Sure. I haven't learned to use all the features. Right. There's another one that I just found called Slow Shutter.
Oh, and it helps. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it helps you take, like, streaky...
The motion tracking or motion blurs,
or, like, at night, you can get the tracking. I haven't played with it a lot, but it also helps you get better night photos by keeping that shutter open longer.
So, nice.
But I just was curious if you used anything extra.
I haven't used any of those. One that I use, and this is more of a video app, I guess, but not really. I use one called Lapseit, Lapseit. And, nice. And Lapseit has a very, very robust time-lapse photography feature to it.
Okay.
And you can set it to either save it as a whole bunch of pictures or save it as a video.
So you can do like stop motion.
Kind of stop motion. It's more like you tell it to take a picture every second or every 5 minutes or every whatever. And you just set it recording and it just every few minutes it takes a still picture.
So
it stitches those all together into a movie.
Do you have to disable the sleep on your phone?
No, I must automatically do that.
Just comes back on?
The screen goes dim, but it still keeps taking pictures. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it's really cool.
You could almost use that.
I think it's $2.
You could almost use it as a security.
Oh, yeah. It is a beautiful.
With your little slingshot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is a tool, a toy. This is my first Kickstarter purchase.
Nice. So Adam's holding up a little item that looks like a slingshot.
Looks like a slingshot.
But what is it?
And it holds your iPhone. Look it up. Just look. Actually holds anything.
Any smartphone.
Because the plastic it's made out of, it will even hold Galaxy Notes. And you
phablets.
Phablets, all of these. But you could put your phone in it and it holds your phone nice and steady while you're shooting video, but it also has a little tripod mount that comes out of the bottom, too. Not to keep delaying things, but you can also take the top off.
And just tonight only, you can also get...
You take the top off, and you can actually mount your cell phone. This is one of the main reasons I got it. You can mount your cell phone to a regular tripod. Yeah. And so...
Ingenious.
You mix that with, like, the Lapseit app.
Kickstarter's the best.
Oh, yeah, and it's $20.
What's the company?
Now you can buy them from anywhere. It's actually a weird... It's M-O-X-O-M.
Moxom.
Moxom or Waxom. Well, I don't know. I'll have to look it up. But I, what, if you look
it's an
up.
M or a W.
If you type in iPhone slingshot, you will find it right at the very top of the list.
So it is. They call it a slingshot.
It's called a slingshot because it looks like a slingshot.
Joe brought
very,
his,
very cool.
Joe brought his iPad in here, yep. And he had a, he was showing us one of his favorite editing programs for his iPad, which is a free one from Adobe called Photoshop Touch. And it is, it's a great program for doing editing on your iPad.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, it is really nice.
And didn't Adobe buy that other one that used to be on there? I'm going to look because I think I have it.
I don't know
it.
Which one.
I think they bought, if I can find it here, Snapseed. Did Adobe buy Snapseed?
Ooh, I don't know.
Because Snapseed was another cool little editor.
Yeah, Snapseed is really cool, but I don't know that it was bought by Adobe. Maybe it was, though.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I don't see that it was, but maybe it was.
But anyway,
nope,
so.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, we are out of time, I think, for this edition.
Bummer.
Great. The phone systems work great. Joe, thanks for hanging out and showing
Excellent.
Us how to do that. And thanks for all the great calls tonight. I think people enjoyed having the ability. I'm hoping that's why we got a lot of calls. They enjoyed knowing they were on hold.
Yes.
Instead of hearing the phone ring and ring
right,
and ring.
Right.
So we'll be back in a couple weeks. We're always on the first and third Wednesdays of the month from 5:30 to 6:30. Again, my name is Rick Castellini.
And I'm Adam Cochran.
We appreciate you listening here on KFM Radio 88.1, Grand Junction, Colorado.